by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, from the 6th chapter. It's verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Alle, alle, alle. Everyone somehow managed to recognize him, which is a big question I have. How did they all know what he looked like when they couldn't even write down the story for 70 years until after he died? But somehow, wherever he went, Jesus was followed by people. They just wanted to be close to him, that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, just to be near him. There was something special about that Jesus guy that drew people toward him, from the disciples who he called out of their boats to come and drop everything and follow him, to the great crowds, multitudes who just wanted to get a glimpse of this person. And it wasn't that he was a famous athlete or a singer or even a great entertainer. I would imagine that though his sermons were poignant, he certainly wasn't charming. In fact, as CB pointed out, he said some really strange things to people. He didn't necessarily make sense. And still, they wanted to be near him, if only for a little while. So why? What did they see in him? Perhaps it was that they yearned to experience a bit of the divine, to be close to someone who was close to God, to feel a bit of the security that he provides, that strong sense that things will be all right, that God is in control no matter what. And so they can fear a little less. It wasn't that Jesus knew that everything was going to be peachy keen or A-OK, that things were going to magically work out. He knew full well that life holds lots of painful, difficult things. But he encountered each of the painful things with a certain calming, non-anxious presence, the kind that comes from being deeply connected with God. And so he was actually approachable. He wasn't difficult or bitchy. He wasn't prickly or scared. He was able to be his full self with everyone he met. And that made him incredibly fun to be around. This sermon is actually really not my idea. It's Howard Major's here. So Howard is a ministerial colleague and friend of mine, and this past week we got together where he helped me to put together a new loft bed I had gotten for John. I had extra time on my hands, and I just needed a buddy. Just a buddy to hang out and keep me company during all of the boring tasks I wanted to accomplish on Monday. And he was so delightful to be around. And at one point he said, "And I wonder if hanging out with you feels to me kind of like what it was to hang out with Jesus." And I was like, "Don't say that. That's too creepy." But he went on to say, "I just like being with you." And I really thought about this because, you know what? When I'm with Howard, I am my best self. He tells me that I'm A-okay, that he likes me, that I can really do no wrong as his friend. In fact, when I do wrong, he just says, "Hey, Ann, you might want to do that a little differently next time." He doesn't, like, grind me into the ground. And so when we're together, I am just a little less anxious. Things don't have to go perfectly. I don't have to be a perfect person. I can be more authentic. In fact, pretty much my most authentic self with you. And I imagine that when we are able to be in relationship to others where we are our most authentic selves, where we know that we're loved, where we're not going to get into trouble, and we can really feel that, that in fact, we are like hanging around with Jesus. That we can be a little bit more Christ-like, and that the people who help us to be that way are facilitators of the divine inside of us. It isn't that I'm so Jesus-y. It's just that when I'm with Howard, I'm a more loving person because I have the space to be that more loving person. Now, I've mentioned the faith-walking process that I've been involved in over the past couple of years. It's a series of retreats that have helped me to learn how to be less anxious, to trust God in a more deeply personal and in a real way, and to live a life that's more missional, which is to say, one that's oriented towards serving others. So the goal of this faith walking process is to live the life that Jesus would live if Jesus was living your life. So here's the main thing that I learned through all of this, is that Jesus just doesn't live out of anxiety. He doesn't see the crowds coming and say, "Oh my gosh, I forgot to order all the food. Let me go and yell at the disciples for not ordering the food." Instead, he just says, "Hey guys, we're going to figure this out." He doesn't try to duck away or blame others or blame himself. He just is able to be calm, to go with the flow, and to live in the moment. And that is incredibly attractive. The main way that we can live the life that Jesus would live if Jesus was living our life is through striving to be obedient to God's will in our life. That this will of God in our life is for us not to be afraid, but to be our most authentic selves. And how do we discern this will of God in our lives? It's by being in authentic community with one another, a community where we know that we're loved, where we can make mistakes and we cannot grind one another into the ground, but instead we can say, "Hey, I really like you. You make me a better person. Seeing you makes me happy." I wouldn't be the person I am today without you in my life. Thank you. Not the person who you want to be, but the person who you actually are, your authentic person. When we're able to be that person with one another, we're able to help one another to discern what God's doing for us in better ways. Added to this is being a part of a reflective life, thinking about things, taking time to be with God. It could involve praying or writing or reading, walking or eating or talking with friends. These are all ways that Jesus connected with God and practiced having a reflective life. These are the ways that he recharged. He got in that boat and he went away for a while. And there are lots of other stories of Jesus praying on boats to get away from the crowds, to just reconnect with God and remember why he was doing it all along. So here's an example of how this faith walking stuff has worked in my life. I used to be so worried about worship on Sundays that I would get really grouchy. In fact, that isn't a secret. You all probably know that. I tried to hide it from you all, that I was nervous about worship taking place. But you saw it. In different ways, it would sneak out. The one who saw it the most was poor Jennifer, because if anything seemed to get a little lopsided on Sunday morning before worship, like, you know, the cat pooping out of the box, or John having a conniption fit, or whatever, I would regularly snap at Jen. Not that it was her fault, just that my anxiety just spilled all out. And one of the biggest differences that this faith walking, this being as authentic as possible and living a reflective life and being in community with others has had, is that I'm a little less irritable, a little less afraid. Sure, my lizard brain was thinking that worship may be horrible today, that no one was going to show up, that the whole church was going to just completely close, because that's immediately where the lizard brain goes. And you have this in your own life, where it's all just going to be over because you forgot to do X, Y, or Z, or you did X, Y, or Z, and it was a failure, or whatever it is you tell yourself. But I've learned to just identify that fear, to say, wow, I'm afraid that this sermon is going to really stink. And even if it does, even if that fear happens, well, there will be another Sunday. And maybe the good folks of our congregation will give me another chance. The whole church will not blow up if my sermon flops. Hopefully. As a result, over the last 2 years or so, Jen has said that I'm actually more fun to be around. Maybe I'm a little closer to living the life that Jesus would live if he would live my life. Who would have imagined that it would result in me not being so prickly, or blaming others for stuff that was mine, or blaming myself too much. I hope that you'll see this not as just a personal example from my life, but as a way of inspiring you all. An example to see how we can all continuously grow with God. I know that you might think that I'm like an expert, like a master of divinity or something, but really, I am growing the same way we all are. And thankfully, we're all not perfect. That life is about growing in God, about growing less afraid, about being our most authentic selves, about sharing love with one another, about being together in community. You're going to be hearing some more about the thoughts and concepts of this faith walking stuff as our congregation gets more involved in the process. Please consider coming with me to the next retreat in August. You can see a little blurb about it. All you have to do is send me an email. I'll send you the link to sign up for it. It's actually gonna be fun. It's up in Albany. We will go and like caravan together. I haven't made arrangements, though, but it'll work out. Because I'm not a non-anxious presence about this. But if you can't make it, don't worry, because there are going to be more sermons and other ways that we're going to practice these things together. We're going to actually learn how to be as authentic. We're going to learn how to fix our messes with one another so that we can actually be more in peace with the people around us. We're going to learn how to build integrity. We're going to learn, hopefully, how to be a little less anxious in life. Won't that be great when you're late to work and you want to cut somebody off? It'll be awesome. We're going to learn to be a little bit more like Jesus together. If you take away one thing from this sermon, take away this. Jesus wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid when he was being stalked by a bunch of crazy people who just wanted to touch him. He wasn't afraid when he realized they were all hungry. He wasn't afraid when he engaged with the people around us. And he wasn't afraid when he was in relationship with God. He was able to experience the connection with God and to share it with those around him. And the best thing is, we don't have to be Jesus. We can just be a little Jesus-like. And I know that our lives will be far more blessed the closer we get to living the life that Jesus would live when he lives our life. Amen.
Amen.